Okay. Right. Okay, let's first of all look at the current political situation. And I didn't know it was a fundraiser. As stated by Mr. Igor.
Well, that's fundraiser.
What did I say?
Fundraiser.
Wow. Now, Mr. Igor, living in paradise. Yes, Mr. Algor's paradise. Anyway, in all seriousness, as I've been frivolous, as I've just been reminded, the fundraiser and the fact that Mr. Igor did not seem to realise that it was a fundraiser, very odd fact, especially when it was discussed in his office about the fundraising at the monastery. He's in a lot of hot water. A lot of hot water. Also, let us have a look at Mr. Al Gore's telephone calls. I didn't do anything illegal. Well, at least I didn't think it was illegal. I reimbursed the White House. I only made a few calls. 48 that you guys know of so far. That's not a few, in my opinion. Making campaign calls from a federal building is, as we know, illegal. So, what is Mr. Al Gore up to? He's covering his tush, and not very well at that.
He's throwing the election.
Could be. Could be throwing the election. But the thing is that by having it out now, see, this is a little bit on the clever side. People are going to be not so much concerned about the problem when it comes time for his election attempt at the presidency, you see. So by getting it all out in the open now leads to the objective of having it forgotten by time election time comes around. The campaign finance fund reform thingy. It's getting a little bit bogged down due to the fact that it's developed a serious case of partisanship. Serious case. It's meant to be a bipartisan group. Senator Glenn has sided with the president, which makes it partisan, as has some of his colleagues. And the Republicans, having seen this, have sided with their side. So it's got an acute case of partisanship. At the moment, they're fighting that as opposed to what really is going on. So, how do they get back on track? Well, somebody needs to take the bull by the horns, give them a good kick, swift in the sit upon and say, get your act together. This is meant to be bipartisan, not partisan. Okay, let's move along to the market. The market at the moment seems to be slowing down. It seems to be steadying temporarily. I'm expecting some spectacular jumps coming soon. Now, this all depends on whether or not they raise, and what is the word? It's the Treasury does something or other, and if they raise it...
Interest rates?
Interest rates, thank you. If they raise the interest rates, the stock market will go into financial debt. If they don't, the stock market will cruise along pretty much as it is. So it's one of those things that, yeah, it will continue to climb, but it will also do the same thing at the same time as dropping, as it has done in the past. Now, what is going on here? Well, it's a little bit difficult and complicated to say, and I really don't have the time to get into a dissertation on why the stock market is vacillating at a rather odd frequency. Beats me. Well, it doesn't beat me, I know, but I can't really say. Okay. Last but not least, for the gossip column. There is going to be a track meet, and the elected captain will be hosting a barbecue afterwards, mainly to coincide with yet another salmon festival. Tree felling will start in the ski area as they wish to cut a couple new runs. The ski committee will be meeting towards the end of the month. The date has not been set, but people are asked to submit their names for the ski team. We need people for the downhill, biathlon, slalom, giant slalom, super G. Also, we need some brave and foolhardy individuals for the Robert sled team. I think, is it Robert sled?
Bobsled,
yes. For the bobsled team. Four-man team, or four-person team. There will be a swim party for the juvenile delinquents, scratch the delinquent part, the juveniles on the base, followed by a barbecue of salmon. It's come as you are or as you want to be. No births this month, or so far this month. Let me see what else. Oh, yes. There will be a party at the corner bar coming up at the end of the week to wish a bon voyage to a most talented young lady who has been staying for the past month on the base. All is invited and welcomed. It starts at midnight, prompt. If you wish to bring a gift, you're welcome to do so, but she is limited on carry-on luggage capacity. Any questions?
Yeah, on the couple things. First off, on the campaign finance reform committee,
mm-hmm.
If they're both Democrats and Republicans figuring it out, why should it be bipartisan? Why don't they just go for it for the respective parties and then come to an agreement when both parties agree?
Because the actions created by the Democrats is basically slowing down what is actually going on. They were asked to investigate the irregularities in the campaign fund problem. They only found one Republican, but they found a whole slew of Democrats that were responsible.
So we just get a special prosecutor that's, you know, not involved one way or another.
Unfortunately, you can't get a special prosecutor that is not partisan one way or the other. It's a very awkward situation. You take the Kenneth Starr investigation, and he has been more partisan towards the Republicans, and unfortunately he got very frustrated with the Democrats in their slowness to produce requested documents and so on.
Yeah. I see.
So that's a special problem there.
Okay. Also, on a status check for changes on a global scale.
They've already started.
Obviously. But with that, where is a defining point that we could see some evidence of that?
Well, morals is one thing that is always good thing to look at. Something else to look at is crime statistics.
The thing is, though, with morals and crime statistics, it's something that you can't really see as a pattern that's increased dramatically. It's something that you just look at, and it's sort of like watching a baby grow up. You can't really see the growth changes because you're growing with it.
Correct, but if you look back over the past, you will see that there is a difference. Also, you need to look at other things along the lines of economic behaviors in countries externally. For example, Malaysia, Germany. You need to look at their unemployment figures and their outgoing money into such social services as unemployment benefits.
I see. So the changes we're talking about are worldwide changes. They aren't something restricted strictly to the United States.
No. I've never said that there were any that were restricted to the United States. All on a worldwide scale.
Oh, excellent.
Certainly there are things that you can look internally, such as morals, crime statistics, the general level of frustration with social and economic behaviors, growth, increase in spending, new house starts. Increase in spending normally is something that occurs before the event happens. People seem to buy things, luxury items, that they can ill afford, but then they see them as necessary, such as dishwashers, new cars, clothes washers, clothes dryers, things of that nature, big screen TVs, etc.
Right.
Durable goods, I think it is.
Right.
So you see the problems there, and they seem to not be interested in buying important things, necessities.
Okay. What about bank failures?
Bank failures, they can play a role in it, but at this time I don't see it as a problem.
Right, so the savings and loan failures of the 80s and, weren't really any kind of an indicator factor?
A little. And that goes into risky businesses, but it is something that if it happens again, then it starts to form a pattern.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any more questions?
That's it.
Okay.
Okay.
Greetings, Russ.
Greetings, Quarton.
Okay, tonight we will have a special joint session, but that will be later and I will not be involved in it as part from the fact that I will be on the sidelines. However, I will have to hand over to our apprentice, Sensor, as I do have a council meeting that I do need to join, but that would not be for a passing of time yet. Okay, first of all, let me give a brief dissertation and continue from where I left off last week on the eloquence of communication and pronunciation and enunciation in a correct, specific pattern that is easy to stand. If you remember, we were discussing, or rather, I was dissertating, the importance of being able to communicate on a crisp and clear level. It has come to my attention that you have been practicing some of this and trying to communicate in an eloquent way, that people are interacting with you in a different way. This is good. What is occurring is exactly what is necessary. You are now being a person that is looked upon with respect as a opposed to somebody that is a bit of a laid-back surfer type. But that in itself can be a useful tool, knowing when to use which particular style of communication is a key to a good communicator. Communicators, as a whole, are not just versed in one style of communication. They will talk in many different ways, many different facets, depending on the situations and the individuals they are communicating with. For example, a good communicator dealing with children will get down on a level that is eye to eye with them. They know that when dealing with children, that if you are talking to them from on high. They will either hold you in awe, or they will get fidgety and not listen and feel intimidated, and the information will not seem kin. So, when you deal with children on an eye-to-eye level, it is easier to communicate with them. Again, dealing with a different group of individuals, teenagers. Now, teenagers are a tricky group of individuals. They are very moody. They are experiencing the first enjoyments of youth. So therefore, getting their attention and holding it is something that is necessary. You can stand and lay down the law and tell them the way that it is until you are green in the face. But to get the full effect, you have to get their attention and make them interact in a way that is beneficial for you and for them. You have to make it interesting. They do like analogies. After all, they are not that far from children themselves. Children like stories, and stories with morals. Adolescents like stories, but they don't like stories. So you have to use analogies and a language that they understand. Again, as with little children, if you do the on high routine, this is how it is, this is the way it is, this is the way it has always been, you will lose their interest and they will get fidgety and pay no attention. And you can continue your discussion or dissertation until they are green in the face. So you have to make it lively and interactive for them so that they can understand and digest what is actually being said in a way that is useful for them. That is another key to a communicator. Knowing the audience or group of individuals that you are communicating with. Speaking to them on a level plane. Do not talk down to them. Do not behave in a superior way. Now, dealing with a group of adults. Most adults are intelligent enough to understand when you are communicating in a crisp, clear, eloquent pattern. But if you use slangs and phrases, this too can catch their attention. After all, does not everybody on your planet like stories? I've mentioned three kinds of stories. This is a useful tool. If you explain it in a story, you have to be short. You do not want to be too long. Telling a long story will lose their interest unless you can paint a really good picture. There are very few communicators on your planet that can do so. Using sound bites or phrases in a communication is again a very useful tool. There is an individual that unfortunately is in the middle stages of disease called Alzheimer's who was supremely good and a good example of being able to use sound bites to tell a story, interact, and keep your attention. This gentleman is worth studying in his ways and abilities and how he communicated. Do you know who this gentleman is, Russ?
Walter Cronkite?
No. Although that is another good person to look at. This person was president.
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. That is something else that is important when dealing with communicating. It doesn't matter how much you dislike the person. You give them their full title. Former President Ronald Reagan. Current President Bill Clinton. The Prince of Wales. You give everybody their title. After all, to get respect, you have to give respect. And as a communicator, you need respect. So it is important to be able to get respect and give respect. It is good to practice when you are talking in general by giving people their correct titles. If you're talking to somebody and you are discussing what you witnessed on your communication devices of Earl Spencer giving a speech or Tony Blair giving a speech, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, or Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II giving a speech, who use their full title. The Queen. Well, if you are not from Great Britain, then somebody might misunderstand that you are not talking about a member of a aristocratical family. Okay, any questions?
Yes, first off, I'm going to take it from back to front. Have you managed to take a look at the latest editorial I'm working on?
No, I haven't.
Okay, in that, I'm working on a memorial for Princess Di, but...
Full title, please.
Well, that's... I'm getting to a point. I'm making a point here.
Okay.
I am getting an editorial of Princess Di, who, throughout the editorial, I referred to as Princess Di or Lady Diana or something. And at the very end, to bring it all together, I say Diana, Princess of Wales.
Calling her Princess Di or Di or Lady Di could be construed as being disrespectful.
I think I actually put Diana.
Yeah, Lady Diana. Keep to one, not Princess Diana or Lady Diana. Stick with one.
Okay.
Because that way you are staying in a pattern. If you go, the Princess Diana will be sorely missed and we feel very strong for her children. And Lady Diana, it is almost as if you're talking about somebody else. You have to stick with one title.
Okay.
She was not a princess when she died. She was just Lady Diana Windsor. Or if she reverted to her maiden name, Lady Diana Spencer.
The ex-princess of Wales?
Former.
Former.
Ex sounds like more of a marital status, even though it was a marital status. But you're dealing with somebody that would have become, if there was not a divorce involved, the Queen of England, even though Prince Charles would have been the king and head of the government, head of the church. She would have been much like the Duke of Edinburgh is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next question.
In use of stories, can we go ahead and then say that stories kept short, perhaps short with sound bites and particular phrases would be of an effective form of communication?
Yes, but it is necessary to word and construct them in a way that is fluid.
All right, and that's probably what the toughest part is doing on the fly without having any preparations for it.
It comes with practice.
Hmm. And dealing, let's say, last week or the week before when the gentleman came in and we had a lively discussion of a rather surfer-type speech.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understood that, what he was saying. He understood what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one form of communication that you're talking about.
Correct.
In your experience, how would you do with something like that? I know you wouldn't drop down to a surfer speak.
If it was necessary and I was able to, I would. Unfortunately, I did not understand much of the conversation myself. It was, as you might say, all French to me.
Right, I just can't see you saying, dude.
Why not, dude?
It's just, it's not you, Gortan.
Yes, I know it is not me. But if it was necessary for me to address a group of people that were of that nature,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted them to understand instead of being from on high, as it were,
mm-hmm.
First of all, I would dress in a way that would match them. I would make my appearance as much as possible to match them. I would learn as much as possible about their environment so that I could relate. I would even possibly spend time and learn how to surf and spend a period of time surfing so that I knew where they were coming from and interact with them in a way that I would be able to talk to them in their language and understand where they are coming from so that they can understand where I am coming from, which in turn creates the respect.
Interesting. Excellent, Corton. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Let me add to that. When dealing with anything like that, it is necessary to know where they are coming from so that you can interact in a way that is equal to them. Now, let me go over Tia's brief dissertations and comments. It looks all clean. She seems to be getting better at sticking to the issues and the points. There is nothing to edit or subtract at this time.
If I could ask a question real quickly?
Certainly.
When we were speaking on future terms, and the problems that will come about due to unrest, learning how to use a communication skill for dealing with people who we might be in conflict with now at an early stage might be more beneficial at that time. For example, learning maybe some Spanish or other phrases, biker phrases, let's say, but something that might facilitate better communication skills at a time when a crisis might be necessary to be clearly understood.
I think that would be self-evident, would it not?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I will return. Hello. Okay. Let's go over the game plan for the next half of the channeling session. We're going to have a little bit of fun in a minute. We're going to have Huna and Kara work together. The healer and the novice. This should be fun and entertaining. Then we will have, of course, Kiri and Leah. Oh, we got a disc from Laika.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
How'd it go?
She looked tired. Very tired.
Probably, no doubt. She's doing a lot.
Oh, yeah. That is the way it goes. She seems to be enjoying her new role as Chief Headhunter. But she is looking forward to being home in November.
Mm-hmm.
Had me worried for a while, though. Very worried. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right,
then. Right. Hello.
Hello, darling.
And how's it going?
Good.
And how are you feeling?
Better. Much better.
Better? Better get the bucket. Sorry, a little bit of mental humor there.
No problem.
Okay.
That was from Leah, from the tape we just heard.
What was?
Better get a bucket.
Oh, that was one of her phrases?
That was a phrase that Kiri told her to say.
Oh.
She didn't understand why.
Yes. Okay. Now, what we will be doing, Bunny and myself, is as you're feeling drained and low on energy, and as I briefly mentioned, we would fix it,
mm-hmm.
or I would fix it. Now, as I have a novice healer who does have an interest in healing, what we will be doing is we will be working together in a team. She will use her coercive ability to soothe the patient. And to open up the patient so that I can do the energy work necessary. But in the meantime, while she goes and puts her headset on, let me give a brief dissertation to the internet on quantum healing.
Mm-hmm.
on a quantum level. You laugh.
That's the funny phrase and words there.
Quantum healing? Small healing on a quantum level. Healing the little parts. After all, do not the little parts make up the big parts? So, quantum healing. What exactly is quantum healing? Well, it is healing the small aches and pains of the body so that the overall part body can be made to feel better. In doing this, taking a small part and understanding how that small part interacts with everything is the important step. On a molecular, cellular level, after all, does not a virus start with one cell? Attacking that one cell starts a process going. Now, dealing with the overall body and dealing with the cell, you can heal cell by cell, little by little. And again, this can be a very ritualized state of affairs, from having a special shower, lying in the shower, if it is big enough, and having hot water starting at your head and running all the way down, using a loofah, which I believe is a plant-like object that has nice scrapey edges. Removing the flaking and dead cells is dealing with the problem on a quantum level. When you deal on the quantum level, it is a very unusual mindset because you have to focus in on just the one minute area. Now, having dealt with quantum healing, and explain what it is. How does it work? How does it get used? Well, dealing with it on a minute scale, it works because you can see the difference or feel the difference almost immediately when you are dealing with a damaged area, when you're dealing with aches and pains and soreness and stiffness and all that goes with the aging process. It works gradually and slowly. It's no good having a sudden repairing of the body. People will look at you very funny if one moment you're looking old and tired and the next moment you're looking youthful and full of energy. Something like that should be done slowly because it keeps continuity and it enables people to not notice the difference until the difference has occurred. Now, some interesting little side notes here. In dealing with spiritual growth in the healing capacity, first of all, it is very, very important to have the belief in self-healing. You can heal yourself of whatever ails you. You must believe that that can be done, paramount above all others. Some people, unfortunately, do not believe that they can heal themselves. That is their loss. Two, believing in the world of myths. Believing in the stories of old, believing in alternate realities. This is step two to self-healing, believe it or not. If you believe in alternate realities, then you are on the step to believing that you can heal yourself. Step three, or part three, being able to visualize these places in an alternate reality, alternate dimensions, parallel universes. Being able to visualize falls in with believing in the world of myth.
And in doing so, you become aware of your environment. 4. Being aware of the environment of the world of myth. To quote, "There are stranger things in heaven and earth than you have dreamt of in your philosophy, Horatia." And this is true. This is very, very true. There are things more different in the world, in the universe, than you have dreamt possible. Being able to believe that that is possible is step 4. Finally, knowing that nothing is impossible. Believe that. That is almost as important as knowing and believing you can heal yourself. Believe in the impossible. Nothing is impossible. Any questions, hon, before the tape turns over?
No, not right now.
No. Okay. Okay. Let us address energy draining and deprivation. Okay, energy draining and deprivation. What causes an individual to drain? Well, there are a number of things that causes an individual to drain. Lack of sleep, expending energy, lack of nutrition, over-exercise, a lack of relaxation. Yes, dear.
I'll point fingers at myself in day of the week.
Okay. Yes, it was aimed at you. Yes, if you insist. But it's necessary to have an individual that can be used as an example.
Of course. And,
sorry?
I think so. Yeah. Oh, no, it isn't. Sorry.
No, but I was actually waiting for it to be over, or kind of, before we get into part 2.
Well, we've got a little ways to go then.
What I would do is I would take a break and hand back to Corton before we get into the second part. Okay?
Alrighty.
Greetings, Russ.
Greetings, Corton.
She does lead you through the nose, does she not, sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let us go over her points. Her quantum healing, a very unusual choice in phrasings of words and word constructions. Her 5 points, they are useful. They will be kept. Her dissertation on quantum healing, that can be kept. Her discussion on the patient, that is up to you if you wish to keep that, because that concerns you. Whether or not it will be a learning tool for others is up to you. Okay. Rest and relaxation. Those are examples that can be put into the web page and used if you feel fit. You could change and substitute them. And the tape is about to end.
Well, it's getting pretty damn close anyway.
Very close. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, it seems to me that sometimes when I'm talking to you, it seems as though you've actually thought out to a final point something that I'm just trying to get to, or you've already have it figured out. For example, the speech patterns for crisis situations, where by its self-evidence, at the time, it's just like, oh, an enlightening kind of revelation.
It is, first of all,
experience. Secondly, it is having to have used those skills. Thirdly, it is being able to look at them objectively from an external point of view.
Ah.
End of side one.